There's no heroic comeback as Paris Saint-Germain knock Barcelona out of the Champions League.
A hat-trick in the first leg for Kylian Mbappe, and he's got the first goal of the second leg as well to put Paris in front on the night, and 5-1 up on aggregates.
Liverpool are also through to the quarterfinals after proving their doubters wrong against Leipzig.
It's a good ball in towards Sadio Mane, who's going to get the touch, and it's two for Liverpool on the night. Just as it was in the first leg, it is Salah and Mane.
They join these two sides in the last eight.
Sergio Oliveira strikes it low, and in! Incredible! Sergio Oliveira may well have won it for Porto.
And Haaland goes the same way, and he puts it into the bottom corner, and Borussia Dortmund have doubled their lead.
We analyse all of the action on the official UEFA Champions League podcast. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to look at the four teams who are now through to the quarterfinals. I'm joined by commentators Adam Summerton and Phil Blacker, and we have European football expert Chris Parrott with us. Chris, no La Remontada for us on Wednesday night.
No, they threatened Barcelona. They won't believe they haven't won the game on the night. They could have done it, you know. Leo Messi missed a penalty. Keylor Navas was man of the match. But weirdly, they're out in the last 16 for the first time in a very, very long time. But actually, they leave with their heads held high and with positives, as opposed to probably their last three exits in the last 3 years, further on in the competition when there were loads of questions about Barcelona. So much to ponder for the future, but it was Paris's evening and it's Mauricio Pochettino's tie ultimately.
No Messi, no Ronaldo in the last eight of this season's UEFA Champions League. Time for our three-word match report. Adam Summerton was watching Paris versus Barca.
Yeah, I've gone with 2017 memory banished.
I quite like that, and that's not bad at all. And Phil Blacker was watching Liverpool versus Leipzig. Yours, please, Phil.
I've gone with first leg repeat. Just so many parallels from 3 weeks ago. 0-0 in the balance at the break. Salah and Mane with quick fire goals. Job done again.
Great. We'll get to that very shortly. But let's start with Paris Saint-Germain versus Barca at the Parc des Princes. The French side carried a 4-1 lead into the second leg. But Barca famously overturned a 4-goal deficit back in 2017, as Adam mentioned there. Could they do the same again?
Draxler now, as Kazawa forward and he fizzes a ball into the 6-yard box. You might have heard the yelp there as he went down. Well, Anthony Taylor has gone across to the screen at the side of the pitch to have a look at this, and it's a penalty. Paris have got a penalty. The foul by Longley. Icardi, the player, brought down. A hat-trick in the first leg for Kylian Mbappe, and he's got the first goal of the second leg as well to put Paris in front. Dembele inside now to Pedri. Time and space for Messi. Centre of the pitch, looks to drive on and hits one. Left-footed! Oh, that's brilliant! It's typical Lionel Messi, and the captain's got Barcelona going again here. And Busquets has a chance to play one to the box for Messi. Now, was there a foul there on Griezmann? It's a penalty! Griezmann brought down just inside the area, and now you start to wonder, don't you? Messi has already scored one sensational goal. Can he convert from the spot? Oh, he can't! Saved by Navas. It came off the goalkeeper and onto the bottom of the bar and then bounced back out again. And Barcelona have failed to take a golden opportunity.
And that did feel like a defining moment. Adam and Chris are with me now. Adam, had Messi scored that penalty, his first penalty miss in the Champions League in more than 6 years, you felt it would have been a different tie.
I think it was on. I really do.
Yeah.
That was the feel that you got. You sometimes, as anyone who watches a lot of football, you'll know you get a feel for a game, don't you, as to how it might turn. And it just felt that was the critical moment in the whole tie, really. If that goes in, I think it could have been very different. Because 2017, mentality, the psychological side of football, of sport, it matters. And clearly some of those Paris players will have been haunted. You might even use the word scarred by what happened in 2017, because several of them were around at that time. No doubt it would have at the very least put a bit of doubt in their minds right before half time. But credit to Keylor Navas. I keep saying it, but he put in so many good saves in that game at critical moments in the game as well, and showed why he's such a decorated goalkeeper.
And showed why it was so important that they brought him to the football club a couple of years ago. Here's a guy who was so central to Real Madrid's three successes in a row. Left the field as the official man of the match. Big beaming smile on his face. And it's the first time since 2007 that Barcelona are not going to be in the quarterfinals, which is an astonishing record. But there's a huge amount for them to take, I think, from the second leg of this tie. And, you know, we spoke a lot in the commentary, but Pedri was magnificent, so good that I think Kylian Mbappe searched him out at the end to swap shirts with him. And I think we saw a blueprint, really, for Ronald Koeman. They switched to three at the back. That worked. How much they'll do that in La Liga and the Copa del Rey remains to be seen. But Barcelona out, but they played their part in a really good game. And, yeah, had that penalty gone in, I think they would have been scared in that Paris Saint-Germain dressing room at half-time.
I think so too. Keylor Navas, by the way, post-match, it's worth noting Sergio Rico was not available tonight due to personal reasons. The backup goalkeeper for Paris Saint-Germain, Navas saying, "I dedicate my penalty save to Sergio Rico, who's going through some difficult moments with his family currently." It was a great save, and he was needed. I mean, Barcelona, for all the encouragement they'll take from the game, Adam, we'll look at it and go, we were wasteful. And Ousmane Dembele, you know, he had some fabulous chances to score. He's a Paris boy, I think, isn't he, Dembele? Some great chances to score back in the capital.
Yeah, he was probably the chief culprit, if I can put it that way. But I'll stress something that I said in the commentary as well, is that whilst he's not taken the chances, and he'll really regret that, he's done really well to get in the positions in the first place, but some of the finishing was so disappointing. And make no mistake, they had enough chances in this game to turn the tie around. But you look at the situation at Barcelona right now, and Chris has mentioned it as well in the game, about how they've been knocked out in previous seasons, and it's felt like a real bitter blow, a real difficult thing to swallow. They've been embarrassed. They've even been humiliated, if I can use that word, last season. Mm. But this feels very different this time. I would even argue that this is a positive tonight for Barcelona in terms of the future trajectory of the club, particularly in terms of European football. I see a club going now, finally, they feel to me like a club that's going back in the right direction again. Everyone will say about, I know people listening to this might say about financial situation, but if you look at the position in terms of Koeman, I think who's played the political side of it very well. I think he's been a good front man for the club. I think that he's showing that he wants to bring through youth, and there's clearly youth there. Pedri's the poster boy for that. He's an exceptional player. There are others that we could mention as well. That's positive. You know, they're on a long unbeaten run in the league, 16 games. They're in the hunt for the title. They're in a cup final. They've just put in a very good performance at one of the best sides in Europe. You know, you could really make the argument that Barcelona are very much heading in the right direction, and tonight was proof of it. Very different exit to what we've seen in previous seasons.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And of course, Ansu Fati is right at the top of the list of these prodigious talents who they were. We've been, well, all of us have been so cruelly robbed because of his long-term injury. And, you know, Dembele also, come back to your question, Rob, missed a big chance in the first leg as well. And Ronald Koeman was asked about that after the match 3 weeks ago. And, you know, if he can add that side to his game, and he is still young, Ousmane Dembele, then he has the intelligence. He pretty much played in a front two tonight alongside Antoine Griezmann, with Messi in a free role. And you can see, we've been used to that three playing in a 4-3-3, but actually, almost with the one and the two, they looked really good at times. And, you know, only for the brilliance of Keylor Navas and Marquinhos, who was magnificent, Paris had to work ever so hard to keep them out. And that is the big plus, apart from them going through to the quarterfinals again. I think the way Paris defended, you see the improvement, not just under Mauricio Pochettino, but also what Thomas Tuchel brought to them. They are not a team now who you think in the Champions League, in big moments, will fold. Quite the opposite.
Ousmane Dembele, by the way, 23 years of age. And it did take even Mo Salah a little bit of time to work out that one-on-one style finishing. And it was an interesting point you made there, Adam, about, you know, Barca will be encouraged by this more than anything. I did hear the argument in Spain being put forward in some quarters that this game didn't actually matter too much in a very direct way, because the margin was so difficult to overturn that it was so unlikely. But what they needed was a kind of result and performance that would match what we've seen in La Liga to propel them too. And let's face it, they are back in the La Liga title race now, 6 points off Atletico.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that if success was proving to themselves and a lot of people back in Spain tonight that they belong at this level of football, that they are good enough to compete with the very best. And Paris have proved that they are right up there with the very best. Their mission accomplished tonight. There will be a sense of regret, and it's almost a positive in it. You know, if you want to be ultra positive, it's almost a good thing in a way that they go away with some regrets, because that tells you how well they've played. To say that they come away from a game where they were 4-1 down going into it, thinking, do you know what? If we'd been a bit more clinical with our finishing, we could have gone through tonight.
First time, by the way, I think, Chris, since 2006, Barca not in the quarterfinals.
I mean, what a run.
Yeah, incredible.
Incredible.
Incredible run. By the way, a couple of other stats for you. Kylian Mbappe, the youngest player in Champions League history to reach 25 goals in the competition. It does feel like Haaland and him are driving each other on. Okay, let's move on to the other game of Wednesday, which was in Budapest due to COVID-19 travel restrictions. Liverpool taking on Leipzig with a commanding 2-0 lead from the first leg. But the Premier League club had lost their last six home matches in a row. So would they lose a seventh?
Alexander-Arnold with the corner, and it's a wonderful header from Diego Jota. Even better save from Guendouzi to tip it over the top. Huang Wide left delivers the cross, and there's the header off the bar from Serlet. And away by Thiago. Big chance for Leipzig, still the threat. Dani Olmo teeing it up right-footed. Didn't quite have his sight set, and it flashes just wide. By some margin, though, as close as Leipzig have come in this second half. Mane through the middle for Diego Jota. Salah in space to his right, he's found him. This is Mo Salah, cuts infield onto the left foot and scores. Surely the decisive goal. It's the lead on the night for Liverpool, and it extends their aggregate advantage to 3-0. It's a good ball in towards Sadio Mane, who's going to get the touch, and it's two for Liverpool on the night. Just as it was in the first leg, it is Salah and Mane. Jurgen Klopp celebrates, and Liverpool now can begin planning their preparations for the quarterfinals.
We'll speak to our match commentator Phil Blackett in a moment, but first let's hear from under pressure Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp. He said it was a complete team performance from his side.
The best thing what the boys did is, again, that nobody could really see how good Leipzig can be. We defended them really well, because they are a monster, really. They usually, they are so powerful and have so, you saw all the runs in behind. But if we defended that really well, it was a big defending challenge tonight. And everybody had a really good game. Three midfielders worked really well together, three up front. Diogo as long as he could. It was more it wasn't only a sensible decision just to not let him play again 90. The boys who came on, Divock and Navi especially, it was really good. Millie, it was really good. It was a good performance.
Jurgen Klopp smiling with those big white teeth on the touchline at full time, Phil. And you mentioned it there in your three word match report. So many parallels. I mean, the venue included, from the first leg 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, incredible, wasn't it? The symmetry involved throughout, really. Liverpool with big problems at Anfield at the moment, but they seem to love it in Budapest, and it was just the performance that they required. And as Jurgen Klopp said there, it was an all-round team performance that saw them through against a Leipzig team that had been, since that first leg, of course, in wonderful form. But Klopp alluded to it, we didn't really see that tonight. Liverpool didn't afford Leipzig the opportunity to show that. It still might have been a different story had that Serlot header hit the crossbar, gone in at 0-0 on the night. But that was an isolated opportunity for Leipzig, telling, I think, that they only managed two attempts on target throughout the course of the 90 minutes. This was an excellent collective performance from Liverpool. I do think that they benefited immensely from having Fabinho back in that midfield position. He was excellent in there, but we talked before the game of the responsibility on the young centre-backs, Ozan Kabak and Nathaniel Phillips, and they did wonderfully well. I think they weren't overly tested at times, but that was because of the organisation of the side in front of them, and when they had tackles to make, they made them. Their positional sense was excellent. They dealt with everything that came their way. And then, maybe a little later than Klopp would have wanted in an ideal world, came the goals that settled it. Just as in the first leg, it was Salah and Mane who scored them. The first was a wonderfully precise finish from Mo Salah. He had struggled at times in the first half, got himself into some excellent positions and hit the goalkeeper or failed to come up with a finish. This time he coolly picked out the corner, and then a brilliant ball from Origi who just come on, made the second for Sadio Mane, and there was no way back for Leipzig after that. You know, they'd won eight of their last 10 matches now, Leipzig, but those two aberrations are the two defeats over both legs, 2-0 against Liverpool in this round of 16 tie. A Liverpool side struggling domestically, but not a bit of it on Wednesday night in this competition.
Yeah, Phil, talking about that, when Liverpool won it in 2005, they finished fifth in the Premier League. I had a quick look when Chelsea won it in 2012, they finished sixth in the English top flight. When Real Madrid won it in the 90s, they finished fourth in Spain, almost unheard of. So there is precedent for teams going all the way in this competition, even if domestically that they're not quite up to their normal standards. Is that possible from what you've seen for Liverpool to do it this season?
I think that there's still some very, very talented teams standing in their way. But yeah, it is possible. And I do think they've been a different side in this competition recently. And you can read a little bit more into it, maybe. I think domestically, of course, they're uncharacteristically struggling and they've slipped 7 points off the pace of the top four, let alone being in contention to defend their title, which even as recently as Christmas was still very much an ambition. So I think recently this competition has very much become the priority, if it wasn't already the case for Jurgen Klopp. And I do think this match looming has maybe affected the players a little bit domestically in the recent Premier League matches, and certainly affected the selection, shall we say, against Fulham at the weekend. They knew this match was coming, they knew the importance of it, and when it really mattered with their season, let's be honest, the season on the line in this game for Liverpool after what's happened to them domestically, they stepped up and they kept a very talented and in-form Leipzig side at arm's length for almost the entirety of the match. There was always, wasn't there, that element of control, and then finally they took the chances to finish it off, and so much to be positive about from a Liverpool perspective here.
Well, Mo Salah scored the opener on the night, his 25th goal in all competitions this season. He was simply relieved to get the win.
You know, we came here with, we lost a couple of games, a few games in the Premier League, and you know the team is not in the best shape, but we want to fight in the Champions League. I would love to score more, but it's a part of the game that you miss chances, and you know you want to score all the time, you want to help the team, but as much as the team keep winning, that's the most important thing. So I'm happy that I scored today the first goal and the team won. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, it was a smart finish from Salah, who had wasted opportunities. Maybe he can rediscover that goal-scoring touch. Let's focus on Leipzig next. Of course, semi-finalists last season, knocked out in the round of 16, is their head coach, Julian Nagelsmann.
Today we were not good enough to win this game, except that's what I think about at the moment. It was a big opportunity. It's normal when you have two games in a knockout stage of Champions League. It's a big opportunity, but I think we were different games. In the first game, we were not well than Liverpool, but we lose because of two big mistakes. And today, we're not good enough. Liverpool deserved to win, deserved to go in the next round. We're a better team today. They defend very well. What kind of problems that they did not attack us in the first half. Our build-up game was very slow, and so we did not find emotional moments in the game. And did create, I don't know, two or three chances, but not enough to score.
Julian Nagelsmann there. By the way, Fabinho's been named player of the match. And Lothar Matthäus, German football legend, of course, speaking on German TV, said Leipzig didn't create enough chances, didn't win enough challenges, and didn't look comfortable. Regardless, Phil, there's an element of transition, I suspect, with Timo Werner leaving the football club. And Leipzig is still have a lot to play for this season. It looks like they're really in a Bundesliga title race.
Very much so. It's in their own hands, actually, isn't it? They're 2 points behind Bayern at this stage, but they still have Bayern to play just after the international break at the start of April and through to the semi-finals of the German Cup as well. So, yeah, still plenty for them to aim at this season. And their intention will be ensure that the major dilemma now for Julian Nagelsmann, or the major task for him, is to ensure that they're not derailed by the disappointment of this defeat. They picked themselves up, of course, after that first leg, and there were real disappointment in the camp after that and the nature of that defeat. And they won 4 on the bounce domestically. So they'll hope for something similar, certainly, and put this down to experience. But there is no doubt it's a difficult one for them to take, because there's a lot, I think, that they will look back on over the course of the two legs as nearly moments, what-if moments, and they just didn't quite do enough. And certainly second half, very subdued. That one solid effort off the bar aside, they didn't really create anything to threaten Liverpool, to challenge their authority in the game. So that will be the disappointment for Nagelsmann. For the semi-finalists last season, it's a year to the day since they beat Tottenham, I think 3-0 at this stage, to go through to their first ever quarter-final. That maybe had raised the bar, which is why the disappointment will be that much higher after this elimination. But when you set it in the context of their season, it's a setback, certainly in one of the biggest, if not the biggest, competition for them. But it's far from the end of their season, whereas if Liverpool had gone out, then you could argue it would have been. And I think maybe we saw a little bit of that over the course of the two legs as well.
With Bayern, you'd imagine progressing in the Champions League, maybe Leipzig will, with those weak rests between games, have a chance of winning the title in Germany. And of course, they came through that tough group with United and Paris, which I don't think many people would have expected. But Liverpool have never been eliminated from the European Cup or a Champions League knockout tie after winning away from home in the first leg, and they maintain that record. Only Cristiano Ronaldo, by the way, has scored more knockout stage goals in the competition than Sadio Mane since the 2017-18 season. That's 12 goals now for the Senegalese international. With me, Rob Daly, Chris Parrott, Adam Summerton and Phil Blacker, we're set to look back at Tuesday night's results briefly now, starting with Juve 3, Porto 2, 4-4 on aggregate, and Porto going through on away goals. Adam, you cover Serie A on a regular basis. What would this mean to Juve to go out in the round of 16 in a tie again they would have thought they'd be progressing from?
Yeah, I think when the draw was made, that they felt that maybe they couldn't really have got a better draw. That seemed to be the feeling in Turin and in Italy in general. They expected to go through, and I think that you would expect a club of Juve's side to go through, but Porto deserved it over the two legs. Defensively, they're absolutely excellent, the Portuguese side, and that really showed. And Pepe's performance, as everyone who watched that game will have seen, was absolutely outstanding in the second leg in particular. But in terms of a Juventus point of view, it's a significant blow, but I think what it will also be is a watershed moment, perhaps, a little bit for the club. I think there's a lot of questions being asked of Pirlo, who's a rookie head coach. He was perhaps a surprise choice at the start of this season to come in. And I think we've also seen, probably, not definitely, we'll see how it all turns out, but we might be seeing the end of, if I may call it, Project Ronaldo at Juventus, a player who was brought to the club specifically in mind to win them the UEFA Champions League. It's become a holy grail to them, an obsession to them, something they haven't been able to get over the line with. Have reached a couple of finals in the last decade, haven't they? Just haven't been able to get over the line. They thought he would be the man to do that. It hasn't worked. And I think what's also happened that it has meant that they've gone back in terms of as a team unit. They're not as good a team unit as they were pre-Ronaldo. That's not necessarily his fault, but I think what we'll now probably see is they're moving away from that now. Whether Pirlo will stay is another question, but some big decisions for Juve to make, the hierarchy Agnelli to make in the coming months.
Yeah, there are. 2005 was the last time neither Messi nor Ronaldo were in the quarterfinals, and we've already spoken about Mbappe, we're going to speak about Haaland in a moment, and that potential changing of the guard of the Champions League superstars might just be happening, might have happened over the last three or so weeks. But you know, Porto were immense. I think Sergio Conceição deserves a huge amount of credit, because domestically, you know, they're one of the biggest teams in Europe in terms of history and what they've won. But domestically, they always have to dominate games and be on the front foot and attack. And actually, they're in a real battle to finish in the top two and qualify for next season's competition. But then in Europe, they do have a totally different way of playing, which is to sit back and soak up pressure. And you certainly can't accuse Conceição of not having a plan B, you know, when things don't go, you know, according to plan. And, you know, to be down to 10 players after Mehdi Taremi's really poor red card for kicking the ball away for his second yellow. It wasn't just 40 minutes of the second half, it was then 30 additional minutes of extra time in this season, of all seasons, when players are being asked to play twice a week. And they fought like absolute, well, to use the term, warriors. And they deserve to go through, and the celebrations at full time were brilliant. And, you know, Porto are back in the quarterfinals, and that will give them immense belief that when they draw another team who will probably be favourites, that maybe they can win again and reach the last four.
Just another, a quick point, Rob, on the defending that we saw from Porto and the organisation and the will to win, the desire to keep that ball out. That's what I always related to Juventus in the days when they were getting to the finals. So when they had that back three of Barzagli, Chiellini, Bonucci, Juventus just don't feel like that to me right now. They've lost some of that edge, and I think that, you know, for them to go out to a side who showed that, for me, that there's something quite poetic about that. It's what Juve need to get that back again, because they're just not the same without it, and I hope that they can get it back again.
I don't want to harp on about the wall as well, which disintegrated for the crucial goal, but just as Adam said, 5 years ago with Chiellini marshalling it, it wouldn't have jumped. It would have stood firm. It would have taken the blow of the shot, and who knows, that might have been enough for Juventus to go through ultimately. Those little details that Juve always used to come out on top in, not just in the Champions League, but also domestically now, the opposition are coming out on top, and that's the difference between going through and going out.
Portuguese newspaper A Bola had the headline Heroes, pointing to Pepe's phenomenal performance. Finished Saturday's game in pain. Domestically, was a doubt to start, but the paper said he put in 120 minutes of excellence with zero mistakes. And Rio Ferdinand on British TV saying young defenders should watch Pepe's performance from that game to know how to defend. To Dortmund 2, Sevilla 2, 5-4 on aggregate. Phil, it was the Erling Haaland show once again, as it was for a bit of the Clásico at the weekend as well.
He's in just an incredible run of form, which you could date back even further, of course, than the impact that he's had since the start of his Champions League career with Salzburg just at the start of last season continues. And a brace in both legs against Sevilla. It was a game, really, that Dortmund didn't have an awful lot of the ball in, and Sevilla will probably be wondering just how they were in the situation that they were. And the answer is Erling Haaland. He just doesn't seem to miss at the moment. He's winning games, I won't say on his own for Dortmund, because there is a stellar supporting cast, but he is the difference maker, sir. Certainly. And it's his mentality as well, isn't it? Just has no fear. When you have that sort of talent, I guess it's easier. But the belief that he has that he's going to score, backed up by some astonishing statistics at this stage of his career. If Dortmund are challengers, and you have to class them in that category now, having got this far for the first time since, I think, 2017, it is so much down to the contribution at the moment of Erling Haaland. Credit to his teammates for providing him with that platform, but Sevilla did a decent job at times of keeping him quiet, certainly in the early stages of the game, and he ends up just as he did in the first leg as Dortmund's hero, and I think we're going to be saying that fairly frequently. Maybe not Dortmund, but certainly on a European stage over the next decade plus.
Yeah, keeping him is the problem, isn't it? 14 games, 20 goals is numbers that we have never seen in this competition in terms of the start of a Champions League career. Just to put it into perspective, Messi took 40 games to reach 20 goals. Ronaldo took 56 games. I mean, it's remarkable from Haaland. And I'm pleased for Edin Terzic as well, who hasn't had it all his own way since being the interim coach at Dortmund, but has come through the ranks there. We know he's leaving in the summer and Marco Rosa is taking over. Well, he's leaving the head coach role. I'm sure he will still have a job at Dortmund, but for him now to be looking forward to preparing a team for the last eight is a great moment for him that no one can ever take away. However, well, it's going to be a short reign ultimately in charge for him.
If you look at both the papers in Spain and Germany after the game, it's all about Haaland, but in both countries, and it's not a surprise. Could Edin Terzic, as interim boss, win the Champions
Roberto
League?
Roberto Di Matteo?
Yeah, absolutely right. Okay, let's have a quick look ahead to next week. Tuesday, 16th of March, we've got coverage of all these games for you. Real Madrid, Atalanta, 1-0 up from the first leg. Adam Summerton, do Atalanta have a chance, do you think, turning that around in Spain?
Well, if any side can score plenty of goals, it's Atalanta. I mean, they're approach to play under Gasperini is just, they're probably my favourite side to watch in Europe right now, and have been maybe for a couple of years. I'd say since Sarri's Napoli, they're the side that I've enjoyed watching the most. So in a way, I kind of hope so, because I'm a bit of a fan of them in terms I just love watching them so much. But there's, even now without Papu Gomez, who was so central and such a key part of everything that they were doing after he left in January, there's still so many threats in that side. You've got the sheer power and physicality of someone like Duvan Zapata, but then you've got the guile and the craft of someone like Ilicic. They can hurt you on the flanks as well, but they'll concede goals as well. Atalanta, and that's, you know, very often a problem is that you can hurt them too. So it's going to be difficult for them, but they've certainly got enough goals in them too, yeah?
Man City 2, Borussia Mönchengladbach 0, the second leg of that game, of course, on Tuesday. Then Chelsea 1, Atletico 0, Bayern 4, Lazio 1 on the Wednesday. Players of the night, please, from Phil and Adam. And Chris, you're going to give us your unsung hero. So, Adam, you go first.
I'm going to have to go for Pedri. I just thought he was so impressive tonight. One for the future.
Phil.
I know Fabinho, I think, got the official award, but I'm going to go for Nathaniel Phillips of Liverpool for his performance on his European debut.
Well, the man of the match was Keylor Navas, but I think unsung hero Marquinhos was exceptional for Paris.
OK, good work, gents. That's all for now. Our live commentary show, Matchday Live, is back on Tuesday the 16th of March with commentary of Real Madrid versus Atalanta. And don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every single match night. Just search for Champions League on your podcast provider and we'll be there. But for now, from me and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.